So glad we can come together here and just worship you and just enjoy one another. And God, have our eyes fixed upon you. And so we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray you continue to be our teacher. I pray a blessing on this service. I pray you really meet with us this morning and speak to us. And Lord, each heart would be open to receive. I pray you just anoint me that I just speak words of the Spirit, nothing of the flesh. And that truly you would meet with us this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going through Hebrews, right? So, before I read this verse, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. You see, the title of the message is Sabbath Rest. Sabbath Rest. I'm hesitant to say this, so take it with a grain of salt. But I'm going to say it. I really believe you ought to pay attention this morning. I really do. Not that you don't pay attention other mornings, but doing this, and the scripture we're going to go over will not be hard to read, okay? It's not hard to read. Okay. But the reality of what God is telling us is believers, and what we are to do is kind of like, I'm not sure how we get our arms around this, okay? But Jesus is saying, no, this is the truth. This is the way it's supposed to be. So it's like, well, you know, here's this thing, and maybe, and some people you know that do this, and just, no, this is where it's supposed to be for every single Christian, all right? And so since it's supposed to be like this, we should all pay attention to what God is saying here. So, other reason I say pay attention, because what God is going to do is going to tell us something that we're never going to be able to see outside the church. Nobody else is ever going to tell you this, all right? So it's like, well, okay, this is kind of God's own deal for his own people. So let's look at this. And also the other thing, it goes totally against our human nature. Totally against our human nature. So here we are. What are we doing? Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. All right? Now, what we saw last week was, you know, is it's coming in, flowing down, and speaking to us about what God is doing. One of the things we ended with last week was God is able. Okay, we said, okay, he's able to help. You just come to him, and he is able to help. Okay, that's novel right there. So now this is the flow out of, it's all connected. This is the flow out of God is able to help. All right, so this is the follow-on. Okay, they're connected. So when we read this, we see that these verses here about the Sabbath rest, this is God's intended experience for each and every person who trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior. We're to have a Sabbath rest. Have a Sabbath rest. Now, we are to enjoy a Sabbath rest, experiencing God's rest, just as God rested after he created all things. Now, and so what you're seeing here, he's telling us, you know, some information, and he's telling us how it happens. He goes, rest. Okay, well, what do you mean rest? He goes, you know how I created everything in 6 days? Well, he says, yeah, yeah. He's in the seventh day. I rest. I didn't do anything. And you didn't, like, create an extra star or something, you know. They throw out a planet, you know. No, I quit. 6 days, I worked. And I rested. And he says, see how I rested? Says, yeah, I got it. He says, that's the way you're supposed to rest. Now, this is what he's saying. So we want to kind of, you know, get the feel of what's going on here. So what we see this, rest, resting in God, Resting in God, not striving with the concerns of this world. 6 days, then I rested. I'm done. That's why I want you done. Don't be concerned with this world. Rest, you're done. This is what he's saying. Okay, this is what he's saying. All you type A's, all right, he's saying, you know, us type B's like, okay, if I don't have to do nothing, I'm good with that. Okay, but anyway, but it's like, he's saying, he's telling us, he's really driving something here. So, not resting with God, not striving with the concerns of this world. Now, the Old Testament gives us a physical picture of the Sabbath. Okay, this is a Sabbath rest. Hebrews, written to the Hebrews understand, okay, right there. And so he uses Sabbath rest. You know, full well, all the Jews knew full, it's Sabbath. He's talking about the Sabbath, all right? So it's not like he just pulled out a neat word. He's talking about the Sabbath. Well, we have an example of the Sabbath in Old Testament. He's telling us what the Sabbath looks like. You can look at Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10. Exodus 20, 8 through 10. Remember the Sabbath day. All right? Remember the Sabbath day. To keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Creation, 6 days Sabbath, he's done. Quit. Sabbath day rest. You don't do any work. He's done. I want you to keep the Sabbath day rest. We know what he's talking about? I mean, he's telling us. So he's telling us. It's like, all right, all right. Now, many Christians see this. Most Christians see this is we should not work on Sundays and go to church. That's what I mean, right? Right. However, Hebrews is telling us something much more profound. Much more profound than that. You ready? We are to have a continuous rest united with Jesus where we don't worry or strive, totally trusting in God. That's what he's saying. We're supposed to live in a Sabbath rest. For Christians, the Sabbath rest is 7 days a week. You know, I'm happy when you show up here Sunday. What if I told you to be here every weekday? Be here every day. Hey, this is Sabbath rest. See? What is doing here? What is he telling us here? Repeat, okay, he's making a point. He's making a point that we are to have a continuous rest united with Jesus. Therefore, we do not strive or worry. Well, Jesus, God, he 6 days, he created everything. And on the seventh day, he said, oh my God, Gabriel, I hope this thing works. What a mess I've created. You know, I got to worry about keeping this mess going, especially was God Almighty. Is that what he's saying? No, he said, I'm done. I'm good. We're good. Everything's completed. That's the kind of rest. Just rest. That's physical Sabbath day is a continuous rest with Jesus for Christians every day. Every day. Now, so, as we look at this again, this is chapter 4, Hebrews 4. The New Testament clarifies this. Okay, clarify that. And this is where I want you to pay really close attention. You've got the Old Testament Sabbath, then you come over here in the New Testament, and it says you got to keep this Sabbath. That's what he's saying. You've got the Old Testament Sabbath. Now you come over here and you got to keep this New Testament Sabbath. But he tells us there's something deeper in it that we need to grasp. There's something we need to grasp. So pay attention to what the Scriptures say. Old Testament Sabbath, New Testament Sabbath. And Jesus goes, I'm going to take you into the New Testament Sabbath. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. NIV, I love the way the NIV puts it. You should circle this verse. This is the ones you should put on your refrigerator. This is the one you should meditate on. This is the one that will open up the whole of the Old Testament to you. This is the one that will make you think, oh my Lord Jesus, you're everything. This verse, these two verses right here. So let's think right now on the Old Testament Sabbath. Colossians 2:16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or Sabbath day. Don't you let anybody judge you about keeping the Sabbath. Well, that's a contradiction with the Old Testament, right? No. He's going to fulfill it. He's going to fulfill it. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Sabbath is Christ. Think about it. How you would do that. The Sabbath is an Old Testament shadow of the New Testament reality of Christ. When you see the Sabbath in the Old Testament, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Now, if you want to be, God bless our legalist, all right? Legalist, our rule followers. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hand. How many of you are rule followers? You know. Rule followers, all right? This is shoot you under. I mean, I'm sorry. You're going to be taken out at the knees right here. Right here. See, because it's not a rule. It's a relationship with Christ. It's not a rule. It's a relationship with Christ. I'm going to go to church Sunday and try to get holy. Now, it tells us to gather together. It just doesn't tell us Sunday. But I'm going to go to church and get holy. So what are you talking about? You need to get holy every single day, every place you go. Because Sabbath day for you is not a day. It is a life with Jesus in every step you take. Y'all with me? See what I'm saying? This Colossians verse is huge when you look at this. See, and legal, and this is what really I've learned, that legalism destroys the Christian faith because it focuses your eyes on the rules and not on Jesus. The relationship with Jesus focuses on Jesus, and then you behave like Jesus. Death and life. Dead church, living church. So it's making it clear here. You think, oh my goodness. The reality is in Jesus, the Sabbath. You remember I told you last week, I said every time Jesus goes, he says, Jesus is the high priest. Remember I said, every place you see the high priest, Mark, I put Jesus. I'm going to throw another one at you. Every place you see Sabbath, right? Jesus. He's the high priest and the Sabbath. He's the priest of the day who he is. The concept is, you know, overwhelming when you start looking at this. Now, Jesus is our Sabbath rest. That's what this is saying. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Now, what we want to do here, that we're going to look at chapters 3 and 4 in Hebrews. The whole whole thing, chapters 3 and 4. Okay, I'm going to kind of summarize it for you, but you go back and you can read it. Now, and I'm going to summarize it, and as I summarize Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, you know who totally understood chapters 3 and 4? They were not confused at all by chapters 3 and 4. They totally knew it. Hebrews. There's no new information for the Hebrews, except the Sabbath rest, the finished product here about entering in to Jesus' Sabbath rest. Now that was a new thing, but they had all the Old Testament stuff down. So what I want to do is let us walk through chapters 3 and 4. And chapters 3 and 4 are going to use the Old Testament to tell us what our New Testament walk should look like. Y'all with me? Okay, what's happening here? It's Old Testament stuff. Chapters 3 and 4, Old Testament stuff. But the Old Testament stuff is going to tell us how to walk in the New Testament. See? Keep the Sabbath in the Old Testament. Jesus is the Sabbath, so walk in Him every day. See? It just explained to us what the Sabbath is. The New Testament just explained what God meant in the Old Testament. So we're going to see the whole thing put together. So I'll kind of summarize it here. So we review these two chapters, and they start out like this. In the first, I don't have overheads for this, but in the first verse, Hebrews tells us, as we're going into this, it tells us that Jesus is the apostle and the high priest, and He's greater than Moses and the law. Y'all with me? That's what verse 1 said. Now, what's interesting, it says Jesus is the apostle. Just very interesting. This is the only place in Scripture where Jesus is called an apostle. Only place. He's not called an apostle anyplace else. Okay? It talks about the apostles that received the word and spread the gospel that God worked through. But here it says, no, Jesus is the apostles. These guys were just helping Jesus out. He is the, capital T, apostle. See? Well, also it says He's the high priest. We looked at that last week. The high priest that was responsible for all the religious, you know, center of the temple was the high priest. He goes, Jesus is the high priest. You get where this is going? This might be a little tricky. Who was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament for the Jews? Moses. It's Moses. Moses, number one. Number one. So you look at here, what's happening in Hebrews, really kind of smart. Hebrews brings the New Testament, apostle, the Old Testament, high priest, and puts them together. He just brought the Old Testament and New Testament together. You see? He is the apostle, New Testament, everything in the New Testament. He is the high priest, everything in the Old Testament. He brings them all together. Then it goes on and says, and He is greater than Moses and the law. Where are you standing now as a Jew? I need the temple. I need the high priest. I need the sacrifices. I need all this stuff to be religious. You know, because Jesus is all of that. I need what Moses said. Jesus is greater than Moses. You see what he said? That's what he's saying. So all of a sudden it's like Jesus is everything in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a picture of Jesus. So Jesus, the apostle, Jesus, the high priest, Jesus is greater than Moses, meaning Jesus is greater than the law. Jesus didn't keep the law. He spoke it. See, I mean, so this is what he's telling us here. Now, so the explanation continues. Okay, we'll continue in chapter 3. So what we have here, the general explanation, this is what happens. And it goes in a lot more detail, and I encourage you to look at it. But within this back of your mind, you have a better ability to understand what's being said here. So chapter 3 continues this. Moses brought the Hebrews out of Egypt. Y'all, everybody should go amen with me. We're telling this story. You know this story. All right. Moses brought the Hebrews out of Egypt, and then God gave them the Ten Commandments. Then they rebelled. They spent 40 years in the desert where they learned to totally be dependent on God. Then Joshua brought them into the Promised Land. Everybody know? Y'all know this, right? The Jews knew this too. See? So that's what he tells us in chapter 3 and 4. This account, now here's the point of this account, this Old Testament account, coming out of Egypt, spending time in the wilderness, going into the Promised Land, this account is an Old Testament physical picture of the New Testament Christian experience. This Old Testament picture is us in the New Testament. Remember Colossians 2:17. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Amen? All right. So what? Let's look now at our Christian experience, how this applies to us. So we have a picture. See, you know why it gives us a picture? You know? It's kind of like you give your kids an iPad to play games. It's to keep them so they can see it and keep them busy. Okay, so he told us. He went to the Old Testament. Those would make good videos, vegetate videos. And they're easy to see. He goes, now I'm going to tell you what they mean. I'm going to tell you what this comic book means. All right? Jesus talking about us. Jesus figuratively saves us out of Egypt. You know that's where you live. You see, Jesus figuratively saves us out of Egypt. However, we don't depend on him and trust him as we should. Therefore, we wander around in the wilderness learning to totally depend solely on Jesus. I'm not getting much response on this. You come out of Jesus. You come out of Egypt. I am saved. And then we come into the wilderness working our own thing. And God says, have at it. Have at it. And I'm looking at my age and how long I've known the Lord. And I'm saying, Lord, I have been in my wilderness about 40 years, literally. See? But he's saying, this is what happens. I'm bringing you out of Egypt, and you're living in the wilderness. You're living in this wilderness because you have no concept of what God wants. So you just live in the wilderness. And so God can't let you just go on like you're always thinking. So he has to train you to trust on him. See? Oh, by the way, who's he talking about? He's talking about Christians. He's talking about Christians. We're saved, just all miserable in the wilderness, doing our own thing. See? And God said, I'm trying to tell you. Now, I give you a little example. I'm going a little farther. It's like you're in the wilderness. God has done all sorts of miracles. Save these people. So they're in the wilderness. And you know what they're going to do? They're going, dear God, we're going to die. We're going to die here. We're just going to die. I know you're Jesus and I know I'm saved, but I'm going to die here. So what he does, okay, let's give manna. Just from heaven. Comes from heaven. You got to pick it up every day. Go get it. One manna from heaven. Every day, manna from heaven. Why did God do that? So it's like every day we got to depend on God and he'll give us manna every day. There's a principle that never changes in the wilderness. Do you know what the Jews did? Here's 11. They went up to Moses. We're sick and tired of this manna. Jeez, there got to be something better than this. I mean, they missed the point, you know. And it's the point, like I said, they spent 40 years. But the point of the manna was them to look to God, trust God, knowing that all sufficiency came from Him. That's the point that was never changed, that attitude. So He taught them in the wilderness, and He teaches us in the wilderness. So then, depending on Jesus, when we get to the point of totally, okay, God, I'm kind of getting this. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm even actually stepping out some things in faith. And I'm really seeing You work. My eyes are on You. And I see Your provision the more I depend on You. And He leads us in the promised land. And all of a sudden, what happens in the promised land, we're experiencing the blessings and from God that we never imagined. We never imagined the blessings of God that we're experiencing. It's something that's really different. And we're thankful. Our eyes are always on Him. And so we're just depending upon Him. And we experience more and more blessings from Him. And see what happens, that we go in. This is the Sabbath rest of God. It is where we experience spiritual rain falling from heaven, streams of water flowing, crops and fruit springing from the ground. That's the promised land. That's on earth. That's on earth. Nowhere in Scripture you're going to see the promised land. It's heaven. It's on earth. And it says, we know where it is right now. Okay? I just want to ask you, just kind of make a point. Do you think it's a promised land right now? It's the promised land, not spiritual. It's like, I don't want to go there till they get things worked out. You know, this is not my next vacation spot. It's not going to be there. Okay, they work out. But what He is saying is that the promised land is what He does on earth. The promised land for the Jewish people, they went from the wilderness to a physical earth, and the promise was, and the Lord actually says that He goes, you know, you didn't have water and you didn't have food. You had manna, you know, and I take you to these places and give you water. I'm taking you land where the water will fall from the heavens and the water will stream through the land and all the food would spring up from that land. That's the promised land. And He's using this to examine our spiritual life. You trust in Me every day, every moment. You continue to live with Me, and you'll live in a life where My blessings will flow from heaven and flow all around you and spring from the earth, and I'll take care of you in this world, Christian life. And I'll take care of you in this world. Water falling from heaven, streams all around, things springing up from the earth, and it's called the Sabbath rest. That's what it's called. It's called the Sabbath rest. And you go, whoa, wait a minute, my life's not, how do I get there? Look at it. God says you're in the wilderness. Then you need to get something. Your relationship with God, that He'll bring you out of that wilderness. And it's all tied in trusting in Him. So, what we have here, two chapters to get to chapter 4, verse 9. Two chapters to explain this, all right? Why? He wants to make a point. There's a picture of what I'm doing, and then now you spiritually can see it, and you know what's going on. You understand what's going on. I'm starving to death. Nothing works out. I'm miserable because you're in the wilderness. Well, how do you get out of the wilderness? You've got to rework. Wait a minute, God. But trust to you. Wait a minute, God. I got to look to you. Wait a minute, God. I have to totally depend on you. Greg played some great songs. I mean, and those songs basically said that. I want to tell you something. If they're just songs and we feel good, they're just dead words on a page. Just dead words on a page. Unless we integrate it. Integrate it into ourselves. Now, this is why God is pleading with us to stop striving and totally trust in Him, depending on Him in all circumstances, living in His Sabbath rest. Remember the song? I wish I had a good memory, Greg. I told you all what you said. The song, trust in Him, and we're having to believe in Him. Okay, yeah. And then we're going to go out, get in our car. Good gosh, it doesn't start. Lord, what are you doing? Hate this life. Not everybody's laughing. I thought that's funny. See, because it's like, well, okay, God, that's interesting. Car doesn't start. Now, I wonder what you're doing with this. All right, I know you love me. I know you care for me. Is this a divine appointment for me? Is it something I need to call upon you and trust you more? I want to see you work in this situation. It's two different attitudes. One's a Sabbath rest and one's a wilderness response. See, we think it's, I think it's our circumstances. Yeah. It's not. My circumstances are not my problem. I am my problem. I am. And so when I learn to depend on the Lord more and walk with Him, maybe the circumstances, probably the circumstances don't change, but all of a sudden, I don't have a problem with them because I know Jesus is in them. I know Jesus is working, and He has me there for a purpose to work through it. And I said, Lord, this will be interesting what you can do. And I know you're going to do it because I don't have a clue what to do. Y'all see what I'm saying? This is what this whole thing is saying, telling us. Two chapters to drive this home. Two chapters to drive this home. And so this is what He's telling us. Now you've got these two chapters down. Amen. Then He's telling us the message to us right now. So then there remains. This is Hebrews 4:9 again. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his own works. Is God did from his? Since I'm a type B personality, I'll pick on you type A personalities. Na, 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 na. You see what He's saying here? He's saying, you enter God's rest. He rested also from His works as God did from His. We rest from our works just as God rests from His. And believe me, I have a little type A to do things, you know. I'm just trying to play with you a minute. But the point of it is this. We are wrapped in to do. Our to do destroys our relationship with Christ. Our judgmentalness destroys our relationship with Christ. The law destroys our relationship with Christ. See, now wait a minute, Wallace. Romans 3:19 tells us why the law was given. All you law keepers. It says the law was given to show you fall short. Are you telling me that means you haven't fallen short? That means you're separated from Christ. Galatians 5:14 says, those that follow the law are severed from Christ. Almost sounds like there's not an area for repentance. Sin's bad. The law's devastating. And so what God is saying here, stop your work and enter into God's rest. Right? And it's like, that's what I'm going to read it again because this is what this says. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works. From his works is God did from his. 6 days created everything. Seven. Done. Ain't created nothing else. That's what. So we have the picture. You come out of Egypt, we're doing our own thing for however long we want to do it. That's the wilderness. We trust in him, and we come into the promised land depending upon him. There it is. There's a whole thing. And then we can sing Greg's songs. See, Greg's songs are the promised land songs. See, those are promised land songs. All right. And which I totally agree, it's this whole point. We now have to live them. Jesus wants us to leave Egypt and experience his kingdom on earth now. That's what he wants. Now, I know what you say. You go, how? How? And this is where the verse is real clear, real simple. But you're going, ooh. I don't know. This is tough to do. See, the Apostle Paul shows us how. I mean, there's other places, but I pulled this out. The Apostle shows us how to live the Sabbath rest of God on earth. Here it is. It's really, really simple to read. Not even, there are no big words in it or nothing. Nothing. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified. You know, we might as well just stop right there. Don't even read the rest of the verse. Don't even read the rest of it. There's a whole issue. I'm thinking your issue is the same one mine is. There's a lot of me that's just not crucified. You know? Because I kind of like what I do. You know? And there's certain things, you know, about me that I just want to keep a hold of. You know? Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, just like Jesus. Jesus gave everything for us. He said, just give everything to me. Just like I gave everything to you, you give everything to me. I didn't. I'm just asking you, do what I already did. I've been crucified with Christ. Now listen to this. It is no longer I who live. Who walked outside, car wouldn't start, and kicked it? The alive me. The alive me. The dead me wouldn't even kick it. I'd just been laying under the car. I'm dead. You know, I'm not complaining about nothing. Okay. I mean, see the contrast? I mean, well, you don't mean it. That's what it says. I mean, this is what it says, okay? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. But look at the but. Look at the but. But Christ who lives in me. Christ walks out, the car won't start. And the Christ who lives in me has to deal with that. Okay, God. Lord, I don't know how to get this thing started, but I know there's something here you must be doing. And the Christ in me, I'm not mad. I'm not upset. Because I know you love me and everything's of purpose for me. So I'm just going to walk through this and see what you do. Lord, this is interesting that this happened. Interesting this happened. You see what's saying? You know what Galatians 2:20 is? Galatians 22 is the Sabbath rest. Galatians 2:20 is the Sabbath rest. Now, Jesus, what it says in Hebrews, I don't want you to miss the Sabbath rest. Therefore, we have to be crucified with Christ, no longer live, but let Christ live through us. The people in the wilderness complained all the time. Okay? Wasn't Christ living through them? Wasn't depending on God? You know, they complained the whole time. And then when they learned to trust God, they came in, and all of a sudden, all the blessings God were around them because they trusted on Him who gave them. Who gave them. Now, it's like, I want to give you some. Now, when I say this, by the way, you understand, I'm in the same boat you are. I'm in the same boat you are, okay? It's so convicting to me that you look at this and say, Lord, it's just kind of like, Jesus, it's just kind of like you want everything. Yep, that's what He wants. He wants everything. It's like, and my complaining means I haven't given you everything. How many complainers? You don't raise your hands. I'll raise my hands for all y'all. How many complainers you got? That means I haven't given Him everything. Because I've given Him everything, ain't nothing to complain about. I ain't got nothing. Yeah. So the dynamic, the process is unbelievable. Now, the process is trust. Okay, I'm going to bring this down to trust. But you go, okay, trust. And then you say, well, okay, now what do you mean by trust? Do you mean this? Do you mean this? Is it this or that? What do you have to do? He just told you not to do anything. So what is it? The trust is an absolute total dependence. Oh, okay, I do that until I go outside and my car won't start. Jesus. See? I don't trust. My actions communicate I don't trust. See, now any of you that think you trust, I'm going to ask your spouse. And they'll tell me you don't trust. See, nobody's laughing at me. I just think it's a really funny thing. But the truth is, you know, your spouse knows. He complains all the time, you know. And said, go to Wallace for counseling. I said, yeah, you don't trust nobody. You don't trust God. I ain't going back to Wallace no more. You know. I'm being facetious a little bit. But the point of, to drive home what's being said here. Now, we have a doing a men's book study, Ian Thomas, Saving Life of Christ. Saving Life of Christ, yeah. Ian Thomas. Everybody should get this book, okay? Because this is what he talks about. In fact, this last week, Saturday, I started to say something. I thought, no, I'm not going to say anything. He really talks. His chapter 4 this Saturday is actually this message. I promise you I didn't plagiarize it. I stayed in Hebrews. I just read it, and I thought, well, I can't change my message, and I can't tell the guys to skip the chapter. So I thought, all right, I'll just tell them, trust me, I didn't plagiarize this, okay? But what Ian Thomas did in chapter 4 was this. He did. He just said it much better than me, but he said this very thing, and he had a way, knowing that people go, you know, how do you do it? And he had so many words on how you do it. But I'm going to share one that he would say. He said it all the time, and Greg and I, we heard him. I don't know, 35 years ago. I mean, he's passed on, be with the Lord now. I mean, and I totally didn't understand it then. I mean, totally, you know. And so now I have a better understanding of what he said. I just can't do it. Okay. So, but anyway, but what he would say this. So he'd talk about all this, basically like this. And he'd say, okay, this is what you have to do. Let God be God in the man. That's it. How? Let God be God in the man. That means the God in working you, and you behave as God tells you to behave, and then all sorts of powerful things of God will work because we're letting God be God in the man. That's a continuous walk. That's the Sabbath rest. The Sabbath rest is to let God be God in the man. Now, he gave another example just to clarify the whole thing. He says, it's just like the hand and the glove. You got a glove, and that's you. And the hand in the glove is God. So let God be the hand in the glove. Isn't that the simplest thing you ever heard in your life? Won't you do it? Won't you do it? If not, if so, won't you know it? Let God be God the man. Let God be the hand and the glove. We're the glove. I mean, we actually think God's the glove, and we get in God and tell him what to do. See, he says, no, you're the glove. Now, if you have, I forgot this morning, Linda bought me a pair of gloves, and good-looking gloves, all leather. Y'all would just lust after them. I need good, warm-looking gloves. I was going to bring some. You know, so, you know, it's like, those are nice gloves. And I thought, they're so nice that I think I'll lay them out on the coffee table. When y'all come over, you could look at them. I said, those are my gloves. Or I could put them in a picture, frame them. It's like, those are my gloves. You could look at them. They were really, really nice. You know, and see, I'm the glove. See, and that's what I do. Well, come over to home and just look at me. Want to take a picture of me, hang it in your living room. You know. Now see, of all the things y'all laugh at, you laugh at that. Of all the things. See, but why not? It's the glove. It's the glove. Why don't you hang it up? Why isn't there any power in that glove? It's me. It's the best part of me. It's the best all connector. It's the best of everything of me. Why don't you hang it up there? Because there's no power in that glove. There's no power in that glove. It's not until the hand goes in the glove that there's power. We are the glove. We're God's glove. And there's no power until the hand goes into that glove. There's the picture. Until the hand goes into that glove. Thus, let God be God in the man. Don't live by rules. You'll die. God will say you're severed from Christ. Legalism, deadly. Severed from Christ. A relationship with Christ is all powerful, and it will work through you to behave like Christ. Somebody steals something. You need to come over here and I give you the law. Do not steal. Nothing. Come over here. What kind of relationship do you have with Jesus? Does Jesus steal? You know? Why the relationship? We're working through. What's happening with you? How we need to walk with you to depend on him and listen to him. Do you see the difference? Legalism, Sabbath rest. Sabbath rest. Now, brothers and sisters, right? I don't mean to be cruel. I really don't. I'm the worst of sinners. I agree. But many Christians live in the wilderness and don't have any concept of living in the Sabbath rest of God. Christians. Just don't. Just don't. Thus, Hebrews says something very, very interesting. Now, I love the Bible. You read it and guess, wow, this all goes together. I mean, it really makes sense. Wow. You know, holy cow. Okay. We could say, oh, we're quit. Some of you probably said, Wallace, please quit. I mean, enough's enough. All right. But there's another verse. There is another verse, and it is a little perplexing. It is a little perplexing. It uses a very interesting word about entering the Sabbath rest. I mean, don't work, don't strive. Okay? But it uses a real interesting word about entering the Sabbath rest. And it says this, strive. Look at Hebrews 4:11. Now, it's all in context. When I read this, being the holy man that I am, I was going to skip this verse. You know, that's a good place to end. But, you can't skip anything. Look what the Lord says. After the entrance, you should enter the Sabbath rest of God. And it says this, Hebrews 4:11. Let us, therefore, because of what I just said, enter in the Sabbath rest of God. That's the reason therefore is therefore. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Okay, here's another thing. You're not resting, you're disobedient. Well, I thought if you just stole stuff, you were disobedient. No. When you don't rest, you're disobedient. See, if somebody says, you're stealing, I'm saying, we don't rest. You're a sinner. It's just like me, you know, because you don't rest. And I know you don't rest. You wouldn't be telling me all this nonsense. Anyway, so it's disobedience. Oh, I'm not resting. It's disobedience. It's like stealing if you don't rest. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. We are to strive to rest. See, that's the counter. We're not to strive or work for anything. It's it, but strive to rest. Strive not to be fearful. Strive not to worry. Strive to trust God in everything. See, the one thing we strive for, okay, God, I got to get rid. I'm striving. I'm going to focus on you, everything on you. I'm going to strive. I'm going to put everything. I'm going to strive to you now, God. It says strive. You want to put some effort into something? Put some effort into resting. Effort to enter the rest. Okay, this is driving me crazy, and I'm going to strive to enter your rest. I'm going to strive to enter rest. No, you're going to take care. God, help me focus on you. Everything, strive to focus on you, and then he'll do it. It says strive to enter the rest. You won't put some effort in something, put some effort in striving to enter the Sabbath rest of God. See, rest takes some diligence on our part. See, it takes some diligence. And me being Sophia, hope you can dissect where I'm facetious and where I'm really serious. And anyway, you got to keep up with me here. But the whole point of it is when we look at this, what God is taking us, it's like when things happen, I want you to be diligent. Oh my God, this happened. I'm going to be diligent. And Lord, I know you're going to take care of it. I'm putting everything in you. I trust in you. I'm praying that you move supernaturally. I'm thanking you for it. I'm going to see you move. I'm putting all my efforts into focusing on you. That's what you strive for. That's what you strive for. That's what it looks like. And that's exactly what it looks like. We are called to enjoy the Sabbath rest of God. Again, listen to this. Called to enjoy the Sabbath rest of God, not to rest, is disobedient. All you legalists. Okay, if you want to be legalist, fine. But start with this rule. Don't tell me nothing about the law till you're totally resting in everything God does. Because you're being disobedient if you don't rest. Our rest, our Sabbath rest is Jesus. It's Jesus. It's the whole thing. Just think about it. I have Greg get up there and sing all those songs he just sang this morning, you know, because it's all talking about Jesus and enjoy the presence of Jesus and in Jesus doing and all the things of Jesus. And it's crazy. It's just, oh, we're resting in him until we talk to one person. Ugh. Oh, I didn't even expect them to come this morning. One person. You see what I'm saying? And it's like, didn't you hear the song you just said? You know, weren't you listening to Greg? See? Because it's not our circumstances, it's us. It's us. And Jesus says, our Sabbath rest is Jesus. Therefore, these verses come alive. We'll close with this. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else but Jesus, our Sabbath rest. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. And I hope I'm at least opening up the Old Testament to you. We've already got two, and we're going to get a bunch more. Okay, you read it, the high priest is Jesus. You read it, the Sabbath is Jesus. See, it's a physical picture of what he wants us to do spiritually. All right. It's God's comic book until he gets to the real thing. You know, it's like the kids getting off their games and finally going in the depths that make of something that'll really educate them. You see what I'm saying? It really is. Because the reality, the Sabbath, is in Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. And God, I do thank you for your word. And I do, I feel like I should ask for forgiveness for being so flippant about certain things. But Lord, truly, truly, it is so serious. And it's so serious for you to take so much time to communicate. We know we are forgiven. We know we're out of Egypt. We know you brought us out of things we can't even imagine. We know. And we are thankful that you brought us out. We are thankful you brought us out. But that's history. That's history. Promised land, the Sabbath rest, is now. Every day is a new testimony to Christ and his power. Don't. If you can only talk about what God did in the past, that means God's not doing anything for you now. You should have a continuing testimony of God working in you in every little part of your life. Every little part of your life. And you let God be the hand and the glove. Just let God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Because he's the hand in the glove. Dear God, you're the only one that can teach us this. You're the only one that can help us work it out. You're the only one that can do this, Lord. But really do teach us every time we step up, any situation to come up, that we can look at it and say, okay, God, this will be interesting to see what you're going to do. This is going to be exciting to see what you are going to do. And we're going to pay close attention to see what you are going to do. And we don't have to work at it. The only thing we have to strive is to look to Jesus so we don't look to something else. We make that decision. We strive for that. So God, we give thanks to you. We thank you paid the penalty for our sins. Lord, we thank you for your word. We would have no clue about any of this if you didn't tell us. And so we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sabbath rest.